You're about to listen to a Second City Works presentation, brought to you in partnership with WGN Radio. Subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming platform or listen on WGNradio.com. And be sure to share.
The Second City is a world-famous comedy theater, and it got so famous because it has produced generation after generation of comedy superstars. That didn't happen by magic. Second City's improvisational pedagogy fuels great performance, and the same practices that have made stars of everyone from Bill Murray to Tina Fey can be applied for success offstage, at work, at home, and in the world. I'm Kelly Leonard, Vice President of Creative Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development at the Second City. This podcast is about collaborative conversations, discovering connections, and building a better future. This is Getting the Yes And.
Today's podcast is very special. It's Second City's 65th anniversary, so I gathered the creative team, the creative leadership of the Second City. I basically asked one question, which is, what do you do and how did you get to Second City? And that is the entire hour-long part of the podcast. So enjoy.
Unsaid. Days can't be counted by the time to rent. Tomorrow's just another like the one that comes next. The corner of the highway that leads to the job at the desk by the boss with the elegant watch. The tick of the clock and the tick of the clock mark the moments till the ticking stops.
This podcast is dropping the day after the Second City celebrates its 65th anniversary on December 16th of 2024. So we thought it might be the perfect time to talk to the creative leaders of the Second City. So this group that we have today represents the creative leadership for our live stage work, as well as the training and educational programs we offer to individuals and college students, and then learning programs for professional organizations. So I'm going to ask each of you to let us know who you are, what you do at the Second City, and what your path to the Second City was. So we'll start there, and we'll start with Jen Ellison.
I thought I would have a minute.
You don't have a minute. Improvise. How about that?
Ugh, yuck. So I am the head of creative for the Second City. And my name is Jen Ellison, by the way. And I am head of everything that goes on all of our stages in terms of our resident stages, our touring companies, our specialty shows. I'm the head of all of that. My path to the Second City is, I think like everybody's, pretty circuitous. I started out in Chicago. I had graduated from the Theater School of DePaul with an acting degree, which, as you know, is extremely lucrative and useful. And I wound up I auditioned for Comedy Sports. And in auditioning for Comedy Sports, I had to hold my nose while I did it, because I had gone through, at DePaul, we had done intensive Spolin work. So it was, do not do it to perform. It was, you're doing this for acting process. That was all of our acting classes. We did Spolin 3 hours a day, three times a week in our first year.
Wow.
And it was the old school where people yelled if you held a mug wrong. And so I got to Comedy Sports and I auditioned for it, honestly, because my boyfriend didn't call last night and I was like, I'm going to go for an audition. And so I did. And then I wound up doing Comedy Sports for 3 years, and it taught me a ton about audience interaction, how to present, how to make something that is scenically full and still be playing a device of a game. It taught me how to run a room. I think people sort of look down at short form and look down at Comedy Sports in particular because it is so, it's such an audience friendly show. And I actually think that that is an utter, I think that that's such an insult to it, because it takes a lot to be able to do something for a room of people that they're so excited to be there. First off, they're watching improv. This is a live theatrical experience. And you actually have to play at every part of your intelligence, and you cannot swear. So it really does push you into the direction of making something that is universally felt and enjoyed. And then on the other end of that, I did Dada performance art for 10 years. which is on the other end of audience provocation, doing stuff that makes no sense, and being being in the route of like thinking about an audience as they have to be an active participant in everything that they are watching. So those two things, I had been doing that for a long time. I did a lot of improv, a lot of stuff. And then I went, somebody reached out to me and said, do you want to teach a 10-minute playwriting? And it was Mary Scruggs. Do you want to teach a 10-minute playwriting class? And I was like, okay, sure. And I, and then from there, and this was, I think 15 years ago, I taught a whole bunch of classes. I also wanted to direct, and Matt Hovde, who was the training center artistic director at the time, said that he wanted, he was like, if you want to direct here, you need to go to the directing program with Ann Libra. And I was like, well, what can that do for me? I've been doing this for a long time. And I was kind of snotty about it. And I went to talk to Ann, and it was, we had known each other for quite a while, beginning of a very deep friendship. And she encouraged me to take it. And I have to say, it was one of those turning points in my life where I would have been utterly in the weeds had I not done it. I would have been completely, it just transformed, again, sort of like looking at the way I, you know, comedy sports, data performance art, and then also being in the space of like, even though I have experience, now I have to remember what it's like to be a student and go through this directing program. And I continue to direct. I've directed all the touring companies. I've directed for the ships. And then now here we are in my sister's childhood bedroom. which nobody can see because this is a podcast. but yeah, that was a very long way to go. I hope that I hit the narrative points, yes, so to speak.
You answered the question. Claudia, I'm going to ask you next. Introduce yourself, what you do, half to Second City.
Okay. Hi, I'm Claudia Wallace, and I am the casting director for the Second City, Toronto and New York and Chicago. I'm also an alum of the Main State. My journey to Second City 30 years ago, maybe more, I used to stop at 20, but now realistically it's over 30. I went to Columbia College and I took a major in theater. I wasn't able to finish, so I got a job to pay for school, then couldn't take the classes I needed to take because they were not in my time schedule. Anyway, got married, had kids, working a job, and then it was eventually laid off from that job and decided to dig back into theater and acting to see if I could make a go of it. I auditioned for the League of Chicago Theaters, and someone from the Second City saw me there, Frances Collier, and she said, you know, you're funny, you should take a class. I had done a comedic monologue from a Neil Simon play, and she was like, you should take classes at Second City. And I said, I'm on unemployment and can't afford that. And she said, well, we have an outreach program. It's a summer intensive program, and you know, well, you should sign up for that. So I got into the Second City Outreach Summer Intensive Program and immediately fell in love with the art form of improvisation. And I, after I finished that program, I wanted to continue my education with the Second City. And at that time, you could intern for classes. And so I would work a few hours a week and then take my classes for free, because I'm still unemployed at that time. And then on the stage at that time was Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Fran Adams, Ruthie Rudnick, Amy Sedaris, Dave Rozowski, Paul Dinello. And they blew me away. They just so talented and funny and could sing, could act could just were hilarious. And so that made me, something clicked in me and said, I want to do this. I continued with training. And under, I think a lot of us are going to mention Ann Libra. Under Ann Libra's guidance, she said you should audition for the National Touring Company. And I was like, I don't know. And she said, well, just use it as, you know, a learning tool. Just audition to see how things go. So I auditioned, and I think maybe it was the third time I got into to be an understudy for the National Touring Company. I toured for eventually. Got into the touring company. I took Rachel Dratch's space in Redco when she moved to another company, and toured for a few years. After I toured, I maintained a connection with Second City, working with Second City Works, doing corporate comedy. Then eventually down the road, I got hired to be on the main stage as an ensemble member, performed in 3 Jeff-nominated shows, left the main stage, did my little trips back and forth to LA, and had some success some years, and some years didn't have much going on. But eventually everything was bringing me back home to Chicago. I was a stand-in on a television show that got canceled, and I had 2 months left on my contract. My housing dried up. And then and I had to stay with a friend for 2 months. And then my son calls and says he's going to have a baby with his girlfriend. So I was like, okay, I'm going home. So I came back to Chicago. Throughout all of this, I continued my maintained my connection with the Second City, because we had Second City LA out there. I had done work out there, performances out there. Came back home, reconnected with Second City Chicago. There were some issues that were happening with some of our diverse talent, and some of them came to me and like, Claudia, is this how it is? You know, well, you know, we feel like this is unfair. And so I took those concerns to Andrew Alexander. Andrew Alexander said, hey, set up some meetings with the talent and then we'll talk about it. So that's what I did. And he worked to get some of those issues solved. And during that process, he offered me to become a casting director. And I said, well, there's a casting director already. And he said, well, that's okay, because she will cast these projects and then you'll cast the understudies for the touring company and the resident stages. I said no twice. And then he said something, two things happened. My girlfriend said, well, just ask for what you want. And then Andrew said, well, you know, you're not getting any younger. And I was like, oh, F you, Andrew, but you are right. And then my girlfriend
very
said,
classic Andrew.
What you want? And so I said, Andrew, I said, I would love to do this, but I am a performer and actor at heart, and I want to still be able to perform and act. And I want to audition. And if I book something, I want to take it. And he was like, of course. So I said, yes. And I've been in this role for, I added up to like about 9 years, because then my granddaughter's 9.
Oh, great. I'm loving these stories. Julie.
Hey, I'm Julie DeMay Osborne. I am the Vice President of Training Centers. So I oversee the creative content for our learning centers in Toronto, New York, Chicago, and online with our virtual training center. My trip to the Second City has had a couple of stops. I got started with improvisation in high school with an organization called the Canadian Improv Games, which is a national high school improv tournament. It's sort of based on more of a Johnstonian philosophy of improv, a touch of that Brit who went to Calgary and then spent a lot of time spreading influence across Canada. But David Shepherd of Compass Theater fame also is a co-founder of the Improv Games. So I guess there's sort of like some tangential connections to Second City starting there. And I spent like 20 years volunteering with and working with that organization. Like I played all through high school, and then I became a volunteer. And I started teaching improv and working with teens a lot. I went to theater school after high school. I went to the Ryerson Theater School. It's now called Toronto Metropolitan University. I don't know, it feels weird. I studied acting. where our improv exposure was very limited, very British, and very weird. So I mostly was feeding that improv appetite outside of school with friends that I had made through the improv games from all across the country who'd landed here in Toronto to pursue their acting careers. We founded a show called Catch 23 Improv. We were producing a lot of indie work, and then that kind of led to I auditioned for The Second City through my agent as an actor, not as a comedian. I understudied touring company. It was a weird journey. I did not know I was a swing for the touring company till I got called for a put-in, so there had been no communication from my audition till this phone call.
Yep.
Discovery. I stopped being engaged by The Second City in a similarly quiet way. Just time passed and I was no longer working here. That was my first time working here. I did some road shows for the company for a bit, working as an actor and doing a lot of indie improv and theater in Toronto. Then I got hired by the training center to teach teens, because that had been a real area of specialty for me, at the same time as I was interviewing for a role with an improv company here. So I started teaching this teen cohort. I got hired to be the artistic director of an improv company in Toronto, the Bat Dog Theatre Company. And I was immediately fired as a teacher at the Second City due to conflict of interest concerns. So that was my second short stint here. I spent 10 years at Bat Dog as artistic director and managing artistic director there. That is a theater company that specializes entirely in unscripted comedy, so not going into the re-improvisation into turning into sketch. And then while I was at Bad Dog, it was not conflict of interest enough to keep me from doing a 4-month boat contract with my then boyfriend, now husband. Although we did break up coming right off the boats, because that is an intense experience. So we were doing cruise ship comedy on an Alaskan route. What a surreal experience that was. But it really taught me a lot about what it is to really honor your audience and to not come in with arrogance or expectations that you are better than any kind of material or game or approach to improv, that it is such an honor to get to entertain people and to engage people who are not your peers, who are not just giving you recognition claps from the back, but rather, I mean, if you're on and you're connecting and you're authentic and you're not lying to them, they will reward you with laughter. And if you are lying to them, they will be quiet and you deserve it. really learned a lot on those cruise ships. And it was illuminating too, because as artistic director of Bat Dog, improvisers would come out of those engagements with Second City and come to us. We used to produce Theater Sports, which is a licensed short form, kind of like comedy sports. It's John Stone's short form competitive format. And Bat Dog was the producer of that. And folks who came through Second City were the best at that, because they knew how to perform to audiences of real people, and they knew how to find delight in the games, and they knew how to present it with a polish. Like, they elevated everything. It felt like you were in good hands, so you could really enjoy your experience. So really a treat to get to learn it firsthand, despite how hard it was to be on a Alaskan cruise for 4 months. Came back, worked at Bad Dog for another, at that point I'd only been there for a year and a half, so did another 8 years or so, and then about almost 5 years ago I joined the Second City in Toronto as artistic director of the training center here. My start date was 4 days before lockdown. It was like March 9th, 2020. Spent a very short time in that office. We packed up for the weekend with the plan of take your things home. We're gonna try what it's like to work remotely next week. We never went back, because then they tore down that building. It became condominiums, and we began the building process to open our new venue here at One York, which is where I'm sitting right now. My beginnings at Second City in this current stint were strange and online, and we went through a summer of tumultuousness and reckoning and really deep self-examination about our art form and our responsibilities and where we have failed. It was a really fascinating introduction to the Second City ecosystem, but I got to know people from other cities and other locations in a way that I don't think ever would have happened had we not been forced online. These conversations, this call, these people wouldn't have known without any of that. And sort of the roles shifted and over the next couple of years, I moved into a role as sort of managing artistic director, overseeing the AD team for the training centers. And then about a year ago, into this more kind of administrative capacity, taking on all aspects of the student experience. So real pleasure to come back to really focusing on what our roots are educationally here and returning to the Spolin-based ethos of discovery and collaboration and that joyful play through abundance, and that everything is iterative and experiential, and that we're finding common language through play. And I think every time I feel like a little bit wayward in what we're doing, coming back to that has been so grounding. You can bring everything back to process, even though I never did a main stage stint. It is what inspires all of the work that we do in the training center and keeps it feeling vital.
Rob, I'm coming to you next. What's interesting, I didn't expect this necessarily, but I'm loving this theme of, I mean, just how circuitous is one thing, but difficult and strange. And I think for people who want to get inside the industry, I don't think it's going to be different for anyone. I don't think it's going to be different for any of these other people that we're going to talk to. Rob, what do you do? What's your journey?
Rob Wilson. I am the Associate Artistic Director of Chicago. My journey is a strange one, but oddly enough, a lot of the people who are on this call are the reason that I'm here, which is kind of interesting to think about. I'm from Virginia. The reason I'm in Chicago is because a buddy of mine said he had a room in his place that only cost $287 a month. I thought that, you know, moving to a big city was going to be really expensive, and I thought I was going to, you know, be destitute and homeless, but he said less than $300 a month, and I was on the next thing smoking. I came to Second City some years after being in Chicago because all my buddies told me, you don't want to go to Second City until they already know your name. And I was like, oh, well, that seems to make sense. So I started with a program called the Bob Curry Fellowship. I came into Second City for the first time doing that. Also, I like the cheat code. They said, well, taking all these classes takes a while. We'll teach you a master class. We'll just put it in a short time span. I said, okay, that sounds great. So I'm in there with all these fantastic people. Matt Hovde, Anthony LeBlanc ran that thing at the time. And I came out of that. Or was coming to the end of it, and they said, oh, well, we think you might be a director. And I was like, oh, no, sir, I'm an actor. They was like, you should meet Ann Libra. I said, all right, I met Ann Libra, and the whole time that I'm there, I'm thinking, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm hearing these things. I'm telling Ann literally what I thought Ann wanted to hear. And the whole time thinking to myself, I'll never direct in this place ever in my whole entire life. I don't know what these people are thinking. That I don't know how well it went, and I didn't get offered a spot, I do believe. So
we talked about it, and then you were too busy to do the directing program.
Ooh, I love that about that.
So that's all I'm going to say.
Then at the end of it, Claudia, I spoke to you, and Joe Ruffner, and you kind of asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I don't know, if I'm remembering it right around the same time, I got an offer to do a tour. Nobody told me that the tour was going to be terrible, but I did it with this other company. I can't recall. Anyhow, I go and I do these shows, and then I come back, and Claudia's like, okay, we see that you've been touring. Do you want to maybe be an understudy? I said, okay, cool. Let's try that out. And then we started just doing shows, you know, the weekend shows, the kind of shows to kind of run up and see if you're any good and can actually do the work, which was really nice. And not too long after that, I was on Redco, with the caveat that I would not stay on Redco, but be on Greenco. So that was an interesting thing. So I came in and switched companies right away. I toured for a while and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I have to tell you, Second City is fun because when I was on Red, I feel like that was their recruitment tour that they offered me, because we went to all the places like Colorado and Alaska and California, Seattle. It was very sexy. And then I went to Green and we were in Tuscaloosa, Mississippi. I was like, oh, you got me. Second City. But I really enjoyed my time touring, and just like the rest of you, the pandemic and lockdown came, and we were kind of furloughed, and so I was just, you know, kind of sitting, and I ended up during that time, or just before it, it was funny, I booked a TV show, and I remember we did a reading of the show maybe 2 days before. So I was very excited to start this project. And right after the table read with all the execs and stuff like that, they shut the whole thing down and they said, we'd never know if it's going to come back. And all your dreams are gone. And I was like, oh, cool, 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 cool. So we start to come back. I end up doing this show. And then I have to leave the touring company just because time constraints, right? The second thing that kind of brought me in, I had a week or two off during shooting, and Claudia and I went to coffee. And Claudia says, I know you can't tour right now. I said, yeah, probably not. She said, is there anything at Second City that you would want to do? I said, I have no idea. And I thought about Anne for 5 seconds and I was like, I don't know. Maybe I'll direct some. And that's how I ended up directing my first show for Second City. And then that went okay. And at the time, I think Jen was directing. Were you directing Maine right then, Jen? Yeah, Jen was directing Maine. And Jen put up a show that, like, I hadn't seen anything like it. And everybody here knows that I laugh like a maniac when it's funny. So like I just cackled my way all the way through there, and then I ended up talking to Jen, and I was like, oh, not only is this person very smart, very astute, but they're very funny, and like down to earth, and the realist, and I felt like I clicked with Jen, right? I came back and I did, I think, another show, and someone else was maybe the AD at the time. And they were like, oh, you want to do more stuff? And I was like, I don't know. But I think Jen then was kind of in that, came into that 80 role. And I was like, well, yes, I will do stuff with and for, this person, 100,000%. So because of these three people specifically, I am here at Second City and hoping that I can do a decent job as Robin to Jen's Batman. So I guess that's the circuitous route that I took. Yeah, there's some Shakespeare in there somewhere, but we don't have to go into that.
Tyler.
Hello, my name is Tyler Dean Kempf. I am the creative director of Second City Works. So Second City Works is the professional services arm of the Second City. We can provide learning and development programming, live entertainment, and video production for clients. I moved to Chicago in 2004 to take classes at the Second City. I had never done improv before, but my last show that I did in college was a show called Sugar Babies, which is a vaudevillian musical written for Mickey Rooney and Ann Miller. And I got acted as the Mickey Rooney character. So I was in all the sketches and got to improvise within the structure of the scenes, which I had never really had that freedom to do before. And I learned a lot about how far you can go and needing to know when to stop and when to continue on with the scene and so on and so forth. And I got bit by that bug. And my fiance at the time, now my husband, and I were both really looking to get out of Reno, Nevada, because Reno, Nevada in 2004 is not the best place to be a gay person. And he had spent some time in Chicago and he came back and he's like, I like Chicago. Well, I was like, do you want to move there? And he goes, I could move there. The company that we actually both worked for at the time, Patagonia, had just opened a retail store here. and Second City was her. And Mike Myers was my idol in terms of the type of writer performer that I aspired to be. And so in May of 2004, I graduated college. We got married in June and we moved here in July. And on our flight from our layover in Vegas from Reno to Chicago for our honeymoon to find a place to live and to have a job interview, I got on a payphone at the Las Vegas airport and called Second City Training Center and used wedding money to sign up for my first class, which was taught by Bina Martin, who is one of our facilitators. And they told me if I signed up for a second class, I could get a discount. And I said, well, Mike Myers writes, so I should learn to write. So I signed up for a writing class. And yeah, we moved here that summer and I started that journey. Flash forward about 2 years, I graduated the conservatory, had a sketch comedy group that we stuck together with through that from out of that program and did a bunch of shows here in the building and around the country and just had a really good time together. I missed theater quite a bit. And so I took a break from sketch and improv and did theater here around the city. I did an original musical out in Oak Park written by Julia Cameron, who is the author of The Artist's Way. Mm-hmm. And she and her partner came out from New York and worked with us as we workshopped this musical. And they were having us improvise our within character and then taking what we were improvising and turning it into song in the scene. And I was like, well, I can do that. I know how to do that. I should
just say you did that a performance art, Tyler.
I mean, let's be honest. And so I started writing plays and workshopping them and got to put some up here in the city and really, really enjoyed that, taking the skills that I gained in our sketch writing program and implementing them into a different kind of theater style that I had been doing my entire life. Around that time, one of my former sketch comedy group members was going through Ant's directing program and wanted me to come back and be in several of his shows that he was directing as part of the final part of that program. And immediately within the process of those shows, I realized I was home. So like by going away for a little bit, I needed that space to grow and then come back. And I was better than I'd ever been, both as a writer and as a performer. And I saw the growth in him as well, having gone through this program. And he was starting to teach in the training center. And I was like, oh, I want that knowledge. I want to gain that insight. And so I applied to be a writing teacher in the training center. I had my interview with Mary Scruggs. It was an hour and a half of us literally just shooting the shit on a couch. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And she offered me a job, and unfortunately she passed away the next day. So I never got to work with her, but I had a short time where I got to know her a little, and it's a very nice connection. So I started teaching in the training center while also starting to direct shows outside to kind of build that skill up. And I learned very quickly that I had more pride in that work that I was doing as a director than I ever had as a performer on stage. And really, really enjoyed doing the Second City process with actors and developing scenes through improvisation into sketch. It was amazing. Got into the directing program and became this incredible mentor who helped guide me and pushed me into really challenging directions. And I continued to teach in the training center. And I also started to work for Second City Works as a writer first, and then as a corporate facilitator, where we get to travel the world and deliver applied improvisation workshops for people at work to better understand how the skills of improv can improve their collaboration skills, communication skills, storytelling and presentation skills, leadership skills, you name it. Flash forward to 2020. I'm living in Los Angeles. I just got my master's in writing for stage and screen. I was pursuing a career as a writer out there. I meet with Kelly on March, I think, 3rd of 2020, because I'm in Chicago for a gig, and I tell him that I'm grateful for the amount of work that I am getting, but I am dying on the road. I was on the road more than half of every month, and I just needed another outlet. And he goes, have you thought about doing a virtual workshop? And I go, like, on Zoom? Because, yeah, I was like, no. So he sent me away to go develop a program that could only live in this virtual space. So I worked on that for about a week, and I emailed him and said, hey, I I've got an idea. Let's meet tomorrow. And he goes, nope, we're meeting tomorrow for a different reason. Come to this Zoom link. And I'm in that Zoom link with five other people. And he says, you all are tasked with figuring out how we do what we do in the room in this space. And we implemented our process in this ideation space and tried and failed and tried and succeeded and discovered a way of delivering our unique style of teaching in this platform. And it was this really cool opportunity for me to bring my skills as, at that point, a writer for film and a director for film, a facilitator and an improviser into one space, and realized that what we needed to do was to create interactive television. We developed a product that I think still stands out from what other companies are offering in virtual learning. And we helped, I think, keep Second City alive during the pandemic because of that product that we created. About a year and a half after that, the job that I'm in now was created. It was this role that had never really existed in this way before. And it was an opportunity for me to take a sharp pivot from where my original dreams were and move into this space where I get to implement the skills that I get to teach people to be a leader as a leader, with these amazing people on my screen. And it's been an incredible journey from that point on to be here and to be able to really embody what it is that we do on stage in real life as much as we possibly can.
I love it. These stories are the best. Eitan.
Yeah. Hi. My name's Eitan Muscat. I'm the artistic director of the Second City Toronto. So I work on Jen and Rob's team, overseeing all of our stage productions here in the city. I feel like Second City came into my life very early on. I grew up in a real like comedy household. My parents were like big comedy fans, particularly in the 70s when like Saturday Night Live SCTV started. So those were on in the house very early. And, they took us to, they'd been fire hall attendees in their era. So they took us to Second City shows when I was like a teenager. So I was aware of it pretty early on. And I distinctly remember coming to see a show here. I saw one here and one in Chicago, watching a show, watching all the sketches, being like, I don't understand what they're talking about because I'm 13 and I've never been in a relationship or voted. So these things are going above my head, but, the improvisation really lit me up, and it really stayed with me. In high school, I had a fairly robust drama program in my high school, so we actually had a comedy troupe that you could audition for that did a Second City style show where you write sketches and then you improvise. So I had some early glory moments in the improv as part of that show. And I did some plays as well with another performer who ended up being a main stage cast member years later. After high school, I moved to Montreal to attend university. I didn't do a lot of comedy or theater related stuff, but shortly after I graduated, I was writing. I was sort of trying to write scripts and nudge my way towards filmmaking. But I had a really hard time writing the part of a script where people are talking and interacting. And that's a lot of it. So some friends of mine had started attending improv workshops at this theater in Montreal, which was the founder of the theater was a loose moose guy. Julie mentioned earlier, he had studied in Calgary and then been like a kind of busker street performer. He'd done a lot of touring, performing, I think in Adelaide at the Adelaide Fringe, on the street. And they used to do kind of like street comedy and stunts. And he'd kind of inherited this burnt out pizza shop that he'd converted into a theater. The theater's still there. He doesn't run it himself anymore, but the model that they would follow was sort of based on the Loose Moose model, where they would have a 2-hour open workshop for anybody. You didn't have to enroll or give your real name. You just walk in and they would teach you improvisation, and then they would pick people out of the workshop to be in the show, which is like a really specific way, real trial by fire way to learn how to do comedy. And it did not work for everybody, but myself and some of my, you know, my cohort kind of connected through that, you know, doing this format called Maestro, which is short form kind of elimination style. They sometimes call it improv survivor because it was the mid 2000s and that's what people called things, and theater sports as well. And then we started experimenting with genre and long form and narrative and stuff like that. Eventually we kind of like formed up our own troupe, created some plays, sort of accidentally modeling the Second City process by improvising through story beats and creating the show that way. And then we started doing a improvised sitcom with like the same characters, you know, getting a premise from the audience for that episode. And that ran for a couple of years. And we ended up adapting that into a web series that played fairly well in like the early days of web narrative web stuff, and got some opportunities from that. Started, you know, pitching around, wrote a couple film scripts, this and that. I started to want to move back to Toronto, and I went to another high school friend's wedding, and that other friend who had gone to high school with, who was just finishing main stage, was also there. And we were chatting, and he was like, yeah, I'm just getting off the stage. He was like, if you move here, I bet you could do this. And I was like, well, maybe I could, Milhouse. So I moved here, and then actually shortly thereafter, I met Julie and started performing and teaching a little bit with Bad Dog, and then auditioned at Second City, had a good audition. I got put on what was then called The Bench, which is the, I think I was on the last bench, where they kind of, you kind of kick the tires on some premises, you perform, you know, I think we're performing like Sunday night for whoever we happened to like grab coming out of improv classes in the training center at the time and tried to get to come watch us. I directed a few shows with Bad Dog as well, that went pretty well, and then got hired onto the touring company, did a year there, and then moved up to main stage and did 2 years there. About a week after I finished main stage, I had just had my second kid at that point, so I was a bit of a husk. I think he was like a month old when I finished. And Julie invited me out for tacos and said, I'm going on a mat leave. Do you want to cover for me as artistic director at Bad Dog for a chunk of next year? So I said, yes. And
thank God you said yes.
I did. It was good. You know, I was just so tired. But it was great. You know, we worked collaboratively. And then when Julie stepped away, I kind of kept the place running for a stretch, just overseeing all the in-house productions and managing the rental calendar and collaborating with our academy lead and, all the things that you do when you're running a small indie theater that's staying alive off bingo money. It's part of the glory of the Canadian subsidized gambling industry. Continued working there, directing and teaching. Like everyone else, the pandemic happened. So, you know, one day I was in class and someone was like, yeah, I was on a plane yesterday and there were a lot of people coughing, but I feel fine. And then the next day the doors were locked and we were all trying to figure out what to do. I started teaching a lot more online. I kind of drilled down a little more into screenwriting, worked on a couple shows and development, started teaching a lot more screenwriting. And then I had been basically when I'd started at Bad Dog as artistic director, I'd like for that same kind of conflict of interest reasons, I'd kind of stepped away from teaching at Second City. So I hadn't actually been teaching classes here for a few years, but rejoined during that time. Julie keeps hiring me for whatever compulsion. Started teaching again. It was actually a really cool time to be teaching writing because there were all these experienced actors and comics and people with like seeds of ideas with nothing to do. And so I got to work with all these really amazing people who were like, I've never written anything like this, but I have an idea. And a few of those turned into, you know, like fully fleshed out projects or feature scripts that got pitched or won competitions or, you know, got optioned, which was exciting. And then when Julie moved up into her current role, she once again hired me as artistic director of the training center. So I was there kind of overseeing classes as we transitioned from like a temp space we'd been using in Toronto to the one we're currently in. I was with Training Center for 2 years, and then again, there was an empty spot on stages, and I'd been kind of working collaboratively with the former stages AD, you know, just chiming in on casting thoughts, being in generals, giving notes on shows, just kind of like being another pair of eyes with a creative lens on stuff. So when that opened up, I put myself forward and moved into this role. I've been in this role since June-ish. I know mm-hmm. there was a while there where I was doing both. But opened my first main stage show as AD this summer. We put up a bunch of holiday programming recently, and now I'm here looking at next year and the shows we're going to put up then. There it is.
Great. All right, Anne.
I don't know. This feels like I'm thinking back over the span. Everyone's giving a lot of detail. I'm thinking back over the really long span of the time I've been at Second City. There's a lot. And it makes me feel very old, even though it's just that I started when I was a tiny baby. I actually did grow up. I grew up performing mostly as a kid actor, doing community theater and other theater in the Twin Cities. Went to Northwestern thinking I was going to be a very serious actor. And then decided I was going to be a very serious director. I was going to do Beckett and Basements. But I had a bunch of very funny friends who also, we all lived together in a house on Ridge Avenue that we called Dis, which is the circle of hell where the heretics burn. And started named by one of those roommates, Stephen Colbert. We started a theater company called the Journeyman Theater Ensemble, where we did touring law related education, that was written by my best friend, Mary Scruggs, who was also in the company. Rumpelstiltskin versus the Queen, a fairy trial. That company, and I also then, and, you know, I was looking to be a director. I stage managed a notoriously terrible show, historically terrible in Chicago theater called Beta Wolf, which was a post-nuclear Holocaust version of Beowulf at the Organic Theater. My theater company exploded in tears and recriminations, as all young theater companies do. I got a job at the Organic working on a new show that was called The Seed Show. It was directed by Michael Gelman, who was a director at the Second City. They were plays written through improvisation, but using playwrights. One of the playwrights was Dan Castellaneta, who was then on the main stage. And a bunch of people from Second City were supporting the production in various ways. And I desperately needed a job that made more than the very tiny amount of money I was making as a stage manager. Ted Donner, who was the box office manager at Second City at the time, hired me to work in the box office part-time. I had done a bunch of improvisation as a kid, knew nothing about Second City. I had friends who were like, all about Second City and all about that, and knew nothing. And suddenly I was there. And became the box office manager actually fairly quickly. And was working nights. And at the time, if you worked there, you could take classes for free. So I was like, sure, great. I'll take the Train Center classes. And that was really, for me, the beginning of this, right? Of like recognizing that all the things I love to do, all the things I love to play with, all the things I love to think about were all part and parcel of the same thing. After finishing the training center, I was in a improv group called, we had a bunch of names. We were Devil's Advocate. We were Comedy Junta. But it was me and Jon Favreau, the film director, and Horatio Sanz, and Peter Marietta, who was the head writer for The Wizards of the Waverly Place, which is bringing back to a Selena Gomez comment that we were having earlier.
Nice.
Hired some kid who was, had been washing dishes for the Second City to work in the box office, Kelly Leonard. I'm going to fast forward. Left the box office, continued to try to direct, then came back to be the managing director of the training center. And worked with Martin DeMott, who, like, for no good reason said, oh, yes, you're going to teach for us too. I'm like, sure. So I taught an acting class, which I think I was qualified to teach. And then he just had me just basically made me teach improv. And pretty quickly started directing, what were then level five shows, the grad shows. And that's really sort of where things started to come together. Andrew came in. Andrew had purchased Second City from Bernie Solins, but then had like gone to LA and was opening a theater in LA, and we hadn't really saw him. And then he came back to Chicago and was sort of reorganizing things. And so I became much more involved as the head of the training center. Then left the training center job because I was directing the touring company. And by the way, this was a time at which there was no training for the touring company directors. Basically, you were thrown to the wolves. And every touring company you ever directed hated you. And because you knew less than they did. Of course they hated you. Directed several companies. I didn't say what I do now. I will get to there, I guess.
Yeah, do it now because we're running out of time.
Okay. Directed main stage show at Second City Northwest. Directed a show at Second City. I cast the original company for Second City Detroit. Directed a show at Second City Detroit. When Marty died, I brought my best friend Mary to work at the Second City as well as Stephen Colbert take classes. I became the artistic director for the training centers in, Kelly, 90 something?
I think it was the 90s.
Yeah, in the 90s sometime. Had that job for, oh, no, no, I became the artistic director when Marty died in 2001. And did that for 10 years. While I was there, I created the directing program. But I also created something really cool called Comedy Studies, which was a college program. It was with Mary and Norm Holly and, some other folks who were already there. The idea was what makes people great performers at Second City are that they are writer, director, performers who work across mediums. And that if a really good education would be to pull all those things together and have people do that simultaneously. And so, created Comedy Studies, which is basically a semester abroad at Second City where people take 16 credit hours of college work. I was also at the time teaching at Columbia College, teaching improv for Sheldon Patinkin. And so that program became accredited through Columbia College. I left the training center to run comedy studies full time and then became a full time college professor at Columbia with no terminal degree, by the way. I am now, and then while I was there, and then created the first degree, and it was the first in comedy writing and performance in the United States, BA degree in comedy. That is still going where I what I do to this day. I am an associate professor, so I have tenure. I've written two books, the second of which is called Funnier and is coming out from Northwestern University Press this summer. Currently for the Second City, I am I am the director of comedy studies, and I take care of that. And I'm also a professor of comedy. And I'm also back to my unbelievable first love, which is directing the touring company. I have directed two Blue Co's, two Green Co's, and one Red Co, who is my current company that I, it is my favorite thing to create material over time with an ensemble of people improvising together. It is the Spolin work of creating ensemble. I just got to teach an improv class at my, at college this, just this last semester. I haven't, I normally I don't get to because there's a lot of people who can teach improv and I teach more of the heady stuff, theory stuff. But I got to teach a class and I am fully reminded of the fact that improvisation, that when you improvise together, it creates ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that Sheldon Patinkin, who we have not mentioned, who was one of maybe my first unbelievable mentors, that Sheldon used to say, when you play the games teach themselves and the games create ensemble. And for me, that is the thing I see every day in the work that I do. And I am blessed to get to do this all the time.
Mm.
That's my thing. Oh, by the way, I'm married to Kelly.
And we're married. One question, 58 minutes. So we're going to wrap up the podcast with no other questions. No, really quickly. So we have 2 minutes. I want one word from everyone of a thing that is sacred at Second City. Can you do that?
Well, I'm going to say this right now. Ensemble.
Great. Next.
Collaboration.
Collaboration. Yep.
Process.
Process.
Oh,
nice. You can both own that.
I'll say spontaneity because no one said it yet.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone took all the good words.
Yeah.
That's fine. Use it, say it again. Which of those are the most important?
Community.
Community.
Ooh.
Like it. All right, guys. Happy birthday, Second City.
Happy birthday, Second City.
Happy birthday, Second City. Bye.
Getting the Yes And is produced by Second City Works and WGN Radio. Our editor is Iridian Fierro from WGN. We get support at the Second City from Colleen Fahey, Mike Farinaccio, and Emma Smith. The music you hear at the beginning and end of the show is by Jukebox the Ghost. For more information about the Second City, you can go to www.secondcity.com or you can email us directly at works@secondcity.com.
survives.
Survive.